This is Radio Free Pro Wrestling, your home for smart and stunning wrestling debate with lifelong wrestling fans, Sean and Ashley. Let the debate begin.
Welcome to this special episode of Radio Free Pro Professional Wrestling. It's I, Sean, with my tag team partner, Ashley. Ashley, congratulations on defending your David Brightley trophy as you crushed me like a grape in the WrestleMania pick contest. I think the final score was like 10-6. So congratulations, champ.
Thank you. Very cool to know. Yeah, what a very, very busy weekend.
So much wrestling, so little time. So we're going to go right to our stunning 10 questions, as I get you 10 questions this week.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate 6 stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys and what the hell was that?
And my first stunning question for you, Ashley, coming out of either night 1 or night 2 of WrestleMania, what was the biggest shock? The thing you went, OMG, I can't believe this happened.
Well, I don't know if it's exactly the biggest shock. I picked him in my picks, but Sami Zayn beating the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, the behemoth that is old habits die hard. But watching that and watching that moment at the end and the excitement and kind of like the cool little moment of having like his wife be there and everything, very cool underdog moment for Sami Zayn and an awesome victory that I personally loved.
You know, it was a nice moment to see Gunther finally be defeated after so many gentlemen had an opportunity to defeat Gunther for me. And finally, Sami Zayn defeated Gunther. I, for one, even though you won the trophy, I was perfectly happy because Gunther is no longer champion. Now we move on to next week. We'll see if Chad Gable does the unthinkable and beats Sami Zayn in Montreal next week on Raw.
I hope that's not the room. Keep that a long-term thing. Both those guys have earned a spot.
I know there's so many ways you can go with this storyline, and we got so much time now because we're heading into the summer and we're just got past WrestleMania.
Move Gunther up to Cody. Move those two on together. I think you got some good programs coming up.
There's a lot of great programs coming out of this WrestleMania. So let's go on to my second question for you. Did the opening segment of Monday Night Raw outlive its welcome? Because it clocked in about 45 minutes. And I didn't know it was 45 minutes until about 30 minutes into it.
I say yes, but I do say that knowing that this WrestleMania is often kind of structured differently just because it's treated as its own special event as well. It seemed to be a hit with the crowd. I will say online a little more divisive. I still think 45 minutes is a bit insane when even cutting off 15 minutes of that, you still could have put 2 matches in there.
I do believe that every match suffered from that 45 minutes being took to open up Raw. Even though you are serving 2 matches here, you are serving that live crowd there in Philly. And the people who are watching on TV, still feel like the segment was okay. They kind of kept it going. It's kind of within 3 chapters. Chapter 1, Triple H coming down, getting his flowers for a great WrestleMania. Then we got Cody come down, new champion. We see the video package of his story coming to the championship. Then here comes the final boss. We get a Rock appearance on the Monday Night Raw after Mania, which a lot of people didn't think was going to happen. It was cool. And the Rock comes out and goes like, congratulations, champ. Your story of Roman's finished. But your story with me is not finished.
Yeah, I mean, they did kind of, I think the two of them did kind of take center stage with the whole thing. I think even Roman kind of got, like, not overshadowed to say like exactly, but it did feel like Cody and The Rock was more of the story leading into WrestleMania.
You know, I might have to go back and just check the archives, because I kind of think I was the one saying that Roman was kind of becoming the junior partner here to The Rock.
You did say that.
And it kind of almost played out like that.
Exactly. And like, and it's not even through any fault of Roman Reigns, who's been killing it. It's just The Rock's aura is just insane. So
very true. Let's move on to my Thursday question of the week. Was there enough wrestling on this Monday Night Raw after Mania? I did a Twitter poll on Radio Free PW asking everybody, going into this Raw, how much wrestling do you think you're going to get? Overwhelmingly, the people fought 20 minutes. After looking at this 3 hours of Raw we got last night, I feel like we barely got that 20 minutes, especially with that main event kind of helped us along. It was the longest match on the card was the main event.
I love the in-ring action. That's my love in professional wrestling. So for me, yes, like I do need more wrestling. But like I said, I do understand things are structured a little bit differently on this Raw. With the kind of seemingly focus on the in-ring stuff, I think a lot during this WrestleMania and the kind of drifting away from the sports entertainment, though, I'm hoping that in the future that this will lead to maybe getting some more competitive and longer matches, especially on Raw, which is 3 hours, but seems to suffer from like a lack of actual in-ring action for a lot of the time.
True. So like I said before in our previous question, I do feel like they were serving two masters here. I don't think any normal Raw could withstand a 45-minute opening promo segment, except for this one in Philadelphia, that being the money after WrestleMania, and that crowd kind of took over, and The Rock just kind of played into it, and everybody kind of played into it. And watching it live, I personally didn't have no problem with it being 45 minutes. It didn't drag for me. I think maybe the only time it did drag was the fact that the video package, did we really need the video package to be that long? You know, it's just potato patata, basically.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so I'm moving on to my fourth standing question of the week. Who had the most disappointing performance of WrestleMania weekend? And when I mean disappointing, coming into WrestleMania, we were thinking it may be a good match, but maybe this didn't click with the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's tough, man. There's so much going on this weekend. I truly don't know, like, anybody that, like, stood out is, like, I gotta, like, kind of point out to it as being, like, a bad performance. I feel like everybody at least was trying their hardest. I know there was some, like, divisive reactions to what was put out there, but as far as, like, the in-ring stuff, I didn't really have all that much to complain about. Yeah, I don't know. Let me take a look. Let me see. Go ahead. Who did you have in mind?
Okay, so back on Sunday, when me and Dave were having the special edition of Ray Free Professional Wrestling, I did mention that Jimmy versus Jey Uso kind of felt underwhelming. I kind of chalked it up to the fact that it was the B-side feud in the Bloodline storyline. As you know, maybe 6 months ago, this could have been a hot feud coming out of the fall when we first saw the turn of Jimmy onto Jey. But we kind of put it to the backside because we had Roman and The Rock versus Cody. Then we added Seth. And I feel like these guys have suffered from the fact that they didn't get enough build. And it just didn't click when it got in the ring that night in Philadelphia.
Definitely suffered from the brother versus brother wrestling curse there.
I do believe there's actually a curse. I feel like now, since we saw Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy have no chemistry, these two guys tried their best and they just didn't live up to the Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. Maybe it's just us. I don't think anybody can live up to Bret Hart versus Owen Hart.
True. I mean, yeah. like I said, I think the only other like brother versus brother match that I can think of that like yes, I loved it was like Cody and Dustin.
Very true. That was a good match between Dustin and Cody. One of my favorite AEW matches of all time. Let's move on to my fifth standing question here. Should Drew have left WrestleMania as the world champion? I know my friend Randy was so happy he was only champion for 5 minutes and 45 seconds. But please, this is Drew McIntyre, the guy who led us through the pandemic era of professional wrestling for the WWE. I was just happy he won the title in front of people. I want him to leave WrestleMania with said title. But here we are.
I get that. I understand both sides of it because Drew definitely earned it, especially with all this work he's put in with the character and stuff that he's all this like promo work, the social media stuff has been fantastic. But I also really love Damian Priest getting his moment and the big cash in for the briefcase that he's had for forever. It feels like, I like Drew getting a moment, but I also like Damian Priest getting a moment. Damian Priest now going to be champion for what I'm assuming will at least be a couple of months until we get to the Clash at the Castle. And then that gives Drew like the perfect, like homecoming, you know, hometown victory, home country victory.
I mean, fair point, but I kind of was hoping that we would have been right and Damian would have kept that briefcase until Money in the Bank and cash in right before the other Money in the Bank match. I was hoping we were going to get to that point.
Me too, honestly. I would have just liked to see the chaos of two Money in the Banks like running around like that.
Okay, so sixth standing question here. Are we disappointed that we didn't get that big Monday Night After Mania Raw debut? We did get to see Ilya Dragunov come up and have a match against Shinsuke Nakamura. We did see Roxanne Perez have a match against Annie Hartwell. But we didn't get no MJF. We didn't get no Esther Bloodline member. We didn't get no big debut. Oh, wait. They had Julia on NXT Send Deliver, but couldn't she show up on Monday Night Raw?
I will say, I think fans like across the board need to kind of like temper those expectations for big debuts and stuff for every kind of like big event. The AEW fan base is very much like that too. Like every pay-per-view, they expect somebody to debut or show up. I feel like you can't always be waiting for like what's coming next. Like this was a good show for them, in even having like Ilya Dragunov come up and have a good match and stuff like that, I think is kind of like all you need more in the debut sphere, because there isn't, as you see, like we know that the same amount of people who watch Raw are not watching NXT. So this might be some people's first exposure to Ilya and seeing what he can do. This is how you're going to build somebody. Like he's already fantastic. Like now you're just exposing him to a wider audience who hasn't been too familiar with him.
Very true. Cause all of us who watch NXT UK, we know what this guy can do. This guy is freaking magic. And all we want is Gunther versus Ilya. Sometime, maybe SummerSlam. Just saying.
It'd be a perfect, like, built-in, like, you already have, like, some history to go to. Perfect to build up to SummerSlam.
Very true. So, let's go to my seventh question of the week here. Did the women get shortchanged on this Raw After Mania? Because we did get two women's matches. Now, one of them was a 30-second squash match, but it was basically getting Jade over to the crowd at Mania, thanks to Chelsea Green, and Chelsea Green is a national treasure. And we did see Roxanne Perez versus Annie Hartwell go about 3 to 4 minutes, and I thought it was a good showcase for Roxanne Perez. We get to see her on the main roster. She continues this heel character. And we get the side story of Andy and Candace still not getting together, and Candace kind of getting fed up with Andy not getting with the idea that cheat to win. No matter what to do, you want to win. No matter if you have to cheat.
I think maybe they did get a little shortchanged. I think that, like you said, the opening segment might have kind of cut into some time that was needed for some of these things. I genuinely don't know about the Jade match. I feel like that might have been the intention. I feel like that's kind of been, even in AEW, how she was used, like kind of like quick squash matches for at least most of her run anyway, I would say, as champion. So I think it's smart to kind of like, you just had her in the big tag match for her debut, kind of temper her into like some single stuff to get her out there by herself, and see where she goes from there. I like that they're at least setting up some stuff, though.
Yes, I feel like eventually we're going to have maybe Rhea versus Jade sometime down the road. Maybe that's the SummerSlam match. Maybe they push it back into the fall. But I got a feeling, Ashley, Jade Cargill will be a WWE Women's Champion before we leave the year of 2024.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Let's move on to my eighth question of the week here for you. Okay, so my eighth question for you, Ashley, what do you think The Rock handed over to Cody near the end of that 45-minute promo segment? He handed something to Cody, told him that he would know what it is. He didn't need to look at it, and Cody quickly put it into his pocket.
I genuinely have no idea. I am so baffled with this. I am intrigued to find out what, like, I assume, like, this is going to be, it's not something good.
You know, it could be the key to Cody's house. It could be the key to Cody's bus.
Well, he did just have issues with his bus. It could be something to do with that.
You know, it could be maybe a small item that you put on your hand, maybe. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Just, I don't know. There's a lot of rumors going around.
Somebody suggested a lighter.
Honestly, I thought it was a wad-up build for everything that Cody destroyed on his way to Mania.
Now that he's the boss, yeah, he could just be like some sort of tie-you-up kind of paperwork or something.
Like, congratulations, champ. That paycheck just got cut. Here's the list of things that you're going to have to pay for. Okay, so my knife standing question of the week here. Where do you want to see WrestleMania next year? Now, the rumor is it's Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hasn't been confirmed yet. And it's kind of weird because usually they always confirm it during WrestleMania week. And one of the nights they go like, hey, next year we're going to be here. Tickets go on sale. Then we didn't get it this time. So, Ashley, if you could put WrestleMania anywhere in the world in 2025, where are we going?
Honestly, I think it would be very cool for them to go overseas for the first time in a long time with it.
Well, Sunday, David did suggest that London would be the perfect location. And I got a feeling within the next 5 years, we're going to have a WrestleMania in London. And I might go to that one. But, you know, the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, are building a new stadium. It should come online in 2027. So I might not get 2025, but hey, WWE, Nashville, the Titans are going to have a new stadium. 2027, just pencil that one in for Sean.
Take advantage of it. Why not?
I do believe we'll eventually find out that it's going to be either Vegas or Minneapolis. It just depends on who offers the best deal for WWE to come there.
Honestly, a Vegas WrestleMania, that could be crazy.
You know, they do have a new Raiders stadium there, and it is a pretty nice stadium.
That's true.
Okay, my 10th and final stunning question of the week. Ashley, a week ago, some crazy guy said going into this Mania that this might be a top 10 Mania of all time. Where do you rank this one after we've seen it?
Kind of like, We spoke a little bit earlier. I would say like you said, like maybe like 10, like lower tens, like maybe like top 15. I would rank it in there. I think there was a lot of good storytelling leading up to it, a lot of good storytelling throughout, a lot of good in-ring action, and then they set up themselves with a lot of stuff coming out of it. So I think there's a lot of positives. I think there was like kind of maybe some matches that didn't need to be on a WrestleMania card to, you know, to, it didn't need that kind of spotlight. But I think overall, one of their biggest crowning achievements with the Cody storyline and getting like this big baby face over, which can be extremely tough in professional wrestling. And then like the other points I just made, I think like top 10, 15 would probably be pretty fair. I would say like maybe lower tens or like top, like 11, 12, you know, like somewhere in there.
You know, I did mention this before we came on to the show that I feel like this is a top 15 WrestleMania of all time. And personally, if you're there at WrestleMania, you're probably going to argue that this is a top 10 WrestleMania of all time. I'm a perfect example of this. I went to WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta, and a lot of people consider this one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. I still debate it to this day that it was one of the best WrestleManias because just being there in person was so freaking cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a different experience. And I like watching some of the people like coming out and like speaking about it like over the weekend and stuff and like how excited everybody was. Like, I wouldn't venture to speak for every fan, but I think at least most of the fans came out very happy with everything. And like I said, they set themselves up with so many things for the future that like it's got to be a top one, at least that's like at least a top 15.
I gotta agree. I feel like it's going to be a top 15 when it comes time to look back on this in 2 to 3 years. We'll have a say again about this. We're going on to our favorite segment of the week. Not our top five matches of the week, Ashley. This is WrestleMania week. We could have limited it to five. It's our top 10 matches of the week. And Ashley, lead us off.
All right. Let me bring up my list here. So I watched so much wrestling this week. I started off my list with AJ Styles and LA Knight, which I watched earlier today. It's AJ Styles and LA Knight, so we don't need to talk about how good they are in ring. We know. but I like this kind of like little feud they've had. Even though I picked AJ Styles, I am happy that LA Knight picked up the win. I think it was beating somebody of AJ Styles' caliber on a WrestleMania level event is going to be quite the, I think, launching point for somebody. And I think if they can kind of heat him back up like they had him going a few months ago, I think he's showing he can still go with them. You know, let's get him in a program, let's get him going, keep this going with AJ, or move him on to something now that he's defeated him at WrestleMania.
Well, you know, Ashley, I feel like this was a good spot here for LA Knight to pick up the victory. If you remember back in January, I kind of hinted that I wanted Okada versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Well, I didn't get that. I get the next best thing. I get LA Knight versus AJ Styles in an excellent match. Can't complain.
AJ Styles was selling his ass off, too. He's so good.
So I'm going to my 10th match of the week, and I'm going over to Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, as we have the TV title match between Lee Johnson and Kyle Fletcher. These two guys knew they were their opening match of Ring of Honor, and they decided to go, we're filming the gauntlet down. This is going to be us going like, you need to follow this match. And it was one hell of a match.
Yeah, this was quite a showing for Lee Johnson. Like, I feel like he's kind of gotten shuffled around from like group to group. And this run for like a singles competition has been doing really well for him. And this match with Kyle Fletcher, I think, kind of maybe bumped him up to maybe people who haven't noticed him before, maybe caught a second look and are noticing him now.
Very true. And I feel like this was a breakout match for both gentlemen, and I can't wait to see where they go down the road here in Ring of Honor. So, Ashley, what was your 9th match of the week?
So my number 9 was... also from Ring of Honor. My list, I'm not going to lie, is very Ring of Honor heavy. So there's a lot of Supercard on here. But I was introduced to a lot of the Stardom talents this weekend, and I'm not familiar with a lot of them. But Mariah May taking on Momo Kogo. Mariah May is quickly moving up the ladder in my like favorite female wrestlers list because she is genuinely like a total package. She's got like charisma. She's so talented in the ring. It's crazy. He's like funny. She seems to have like a gimmick and a character and like a set thing. So I think everything's coming together for her, and her working with somebody who she has like history with and like chemistry with, just a great showing for her, I thought. And being introduced to Momo Kogo, like, wow, definitely going to have to start looking into some Stardom stuff.
Very true. So my number nine match came from Thursday of last week. It's Bloodsport. It's Speedball Mike Bailey versus Nick Naniff. And actually, this was my first time watching Bloodsport. And if you listen to me and David talk about on the Sunday show, we're both big fans and we want to see more of this stuff. And I want to see Speedball Mike Bailey versus Nick Naniff again in another venue.
That's going to be crazy. I'm going to have to check that one out, because Nick Nemeth and Speedball Mike Bailey are two of the like craziest sellers that I've seen like in forever. So
I got to say, if you have time to do the free Fuel TV Plus preview, I would go ahead and do that and go check out Bloodsport. It was probably the best set of matches and the best wrestling outside of WWE over the last 5 to 6 days. So, Ashley, what is your number eight match?
All right. So, my number eight, also from WrestleMania, Sami Zayn and Gunther. This was just more my excitement. I loved it. Sami Zayn takes a beating throughout this match, some massive chops, just some brutal chops, honestly. Hits the big brain buster. Gets the big win with his wife there. I love the big underdog moment for him. I'm excited for him to take this title and kind of go with it now. And like you said, hopefully we'll see him take on Chad Gable coming up soon.
You know, this was the WWE doing the best remake of Rocky IV possible. I mean, like, we have the big evil foreign guy in Guffer. We have the plucky underdog Rocky Balboa and Sami Zayn, and they hit every freaking single note of Rocky IV. Down to the point that Sami's wife is singing at ringside, and we have that feel good moment like, Sami did it. Yay.
I loved it. I'm so happy for Sami.
Okay, so my number eight match of the week, we are going over to Progress from Friday afternoon. It's the Women's World Title match. It's Lana Austin versus Rio. And like me and David said on Saturday, it was the best match of the Progress card. These two ladies know how to freaking wrestle and entertain the crowd. And Rio successfully defended her title. If you got a chance, go check this card out. They had some technical issues with their mics to start the show. It may not be the best one for you guys to go see and go, should I watch Progress all the time? I would go get Progress on Demand and give it a try. Just don't rate them for this one bad episode, because I feel like some of the stuff was out of control.
I don't know.
So, Ashley, what is your number seven match of the week?
Okay. So, number seven. If I mispronounce anybody, I'm so sorry. From Ring of Honor, the Stardom talents came in and we got a six-woman tag match. And it was Mei Sara, Mina Shirakawa, and Micah, she's one of their champions, and she blew me away. She was so good. Taking on Seiya Kamitani, Tam Nakano, and Izumi, I believe is how they're pronounced. If I am wrong, please feel free to correct me. Anybody. Like I said, this is my introduction to a lot of these women. I'm just going to, I think, have to check out the Stardom like in general after watching this, honestly.
I got to say, Stardom was one of the big winners coming out of this WrestleMania weekend. I feel like they've got a lot of eyes on their talent. And I know they're going through a talent turnover due to the founder of Stardom leaving and Julia leaving from that company, one of their biggest stars. But they did a heck of a show there with Ring of Honor. And I need to go check out the Stardom solo pay-per-view that was I want to say Thursday of last week. It's on my list. Like I said, there's so much wrestling. We had to put lists together. What I can watch, what I can't watch.
It's been ridiculous this week.
Okay, so my number 8 match of the week, I'm going to stick with, I'll stick with Bloodsport. You need to go see Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich. I got to say, if you haven't seen any of that match, it was freaking amazing. And Shayna Baszler showed you why she is the Queen of Spades.
I'm cool. That's so cool that she got to do that. So I'm happy that she's kind of getting her, kind of work her magic outside of WWE a little bit.
Very true. So Ashley, what is your number 7 match of the week?
All right. So I went with another match from Ring of Honor Supercard, a match that I didn't know we were getting, a match I didn't know that was, I did not expect this. Apparently, the newly signed, now under the name Beast Mortos, I believe is how it's pronounced. Formerly Black Taurus, taking on Blake Christian. This match was insane. I was like so excited watching this match. I did not expect this. I was kind of blown away. I feel like I've seen Blake Christian live. I've seen Blake Christian in Ring of Honor and on TV and stuff. I feel like sometimes he's a little kind of like hit or miss for me, but I thought this was exceptional. Black Taurus is crazy gifted for as big as he is and athletic as he is as well.
True. I mean, I saw this match and you got to say, it's this one of those cool random matches you get during WrestleMania weekend when you have all these companies together and you're going like, who could we pair up from each show? And heck yeah, sign me up for this one. Now, my number 6 match of the week, I'm going to NXT Stand and Deliver. It's the NXT Women's title match. Lyra Valkyrie versus Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez gets the victory here by submission. She makes the champion tap out. And Roxanne finally gets justice in her eyes as she gets the title that she never lost back. And I got a feeling that we're going to see Lyra Valkyrie and Taven Paisley break off into her own little feud. Then the Prodigy, I don't know exactly who she's going to face next for that title.
I love all these little like branch offs they're doing.
So Ashley, what is your number 5 match of the week?
All right, number 5. It will shock anybody who may hear this. It involves two House of Torture people. But
wait.
Yeah.
House of Torture? Ashley, House of Torture?
Yeah. Well,
okay, go ahead. Let's play this one.
I went with it's the tag match, Mox and Shota Umino taking on Jack Perry and Ren Narita, because very surprisingly, there is no run-ins during this match. There's a little bit of shenanigans. There's a little bit of the beefed up pull-up bar that Ren Narita has. But overall, there's no run-ins from Evil. There's no Yujihiro Takahashi coming out. I was very excited. It was just straight going. I feel like they're using this time to, like, I guess with what's happening tomorrow or later, this is building Jack Perry's return to AEW. But he still remains very good in the ring, despite what some people are upset about. I get it. And Mox in New Japan, I think, is making a case to be the one to dethrone Naito.
You know, it almost made my list is that New Japan world title match. And I should have realized that since we already had this one come up this Friday or Saturday with Naito and Mox, that Naito was going to come out of that as a champion. But I got to say, this is a match I want to go back and watch that card from Saturday. It's one of the few things I wasn't able to watch live. It's on that list of things I need to watch this right. week. Okay, so I'm going to my number 5 match of the week. And I might catch a little grief here, but it's Queen Amiana versus Billy Starks, the women's TV title from Ring of Honor. Billy Starks finally succumbed to the bad influence of the Dominion Overlord, and she cheated our queen out of her title.
I was just going to say that's actually my next one. So that's great. We can kind of just talk about it right now. Yeah. Athena's influence kind of finally poking through. She kind of feigns an injury and then on her way out of the ring, grabs Aminata in the chokehold. Again, like Queen Aminata, again, like another great showing from her. She is just fantastic in the ring. I'm glad with this push they've given her, and I'm kind of hoping they bring her back into AEW and kind of have her on TV again more, teaming with the bigger focus, especially with like Mercedes and stuff and all that, like bring her into something with that for sure. I loved it. I thought Billy Starks was great. And I also love her going to her parents after the match and being like, I won, look it. And they were like, but look what you did to win.
Exactly. Okay, Ashley, what was your number three match of the week?
All right. So number three, I went to the CMLL show and went with Brian Danielson taking on his as he called him, his idol at the end of the match, Blue Panther. I can't pretend I am all that familiar with CMLL. I'm not. But watching Brian Danielson on this run is just a privilege. And Blue Panther, I mean, and I saw some people make comments about his age, but he still looked fantastic and everything was like fluid, and it's a very technical match. And it looks like we may be getting a rematch soon here in the States.
Sign me up. I can't wait for that to happen. Anything with the American Dragon right now, it can't miss. And this is like their second meeting, because correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe a week or two ago, it was the six-man, and Blue Panther was in the six-man match against the American Dragon.
That's, yeah. Yeah, yep. When Danielson was with the rest of BCC and Matt Sydal.
I do believe that was one of your top matches that week as well.
He's killing it.
Okay, so my number three match of the week, we're going back to WrestleMania. We're going back to that cold Saturday night that Michael Cole kept telling us it was so freaking cold, but it was the first match we saw on the WrestleMania card. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World title. This was a freaking great match. Then they tell you that Becky Lynch is suffering from strep throat. She had a temperature during a week of 102. I was like, wow, this lady is still putting on one hell of a performance. So this is a must see.
And I saw a lot of people, like, I feel like there was kind of like some pushback against Becky getting this title shot, but I think they made this was like the perfect call for Rhea, because having this win over Becky, especially at something like WrestleMania, is something that can kind of help her, you know, like build off of, you know, like this, it's like a benchmark win for her.
Is that the crowning moment? We've been seeing the passing of the torch. A lot of people said this was a passing of the torch moment. It could be, but this cements Rhea Ripley as your most dominant champion in the women's division as we head into, like Triple H likes to say, the new era of WWE. And we got Jay Cardell on the horizon. Who knows? We could have another Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair match coming up. Or maybe Charlotte Flair comes back and we have that matchup. So many possibilities during the next few months here.
I think she could be back soon. She's been on social media. I've been seeing a lot of her on social media lately.
It's about time to see who is the true queen. And there's only one, and she's Charlotte. So, Ashley, what is your number two match of the week?
All right. Number two. The ROH world title. Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. They just beat the hell out of each other. And I kind of figured Mark would finally get the moment, and he did. And it was still a really great moment. Getting to see him get this big win, especially with the J-Driller that's kind of been teased for so long, that every time he gets somebody, they either get out of it or escape, and he doesn't get to hit it, was very cool. And getting to see like Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston, even after like sharing a beer in the back, like still being like, nah, like it's like you earned it, dude. It was like very cool.
You know, it was 11 years ago to the day that his brother won the ROH World Championship This is my number one match. I'll go ahead and tell it now, but I had such a hard time debating between this match and my number two match, but this was excellent storytelling. And the end, when you see all the streamers come into the ring, it's just one of those moments where you have a tear coming down from your eyes and you're just like, I'm so happy for Mark Briscoe having this opportunity to hold that title and be the champion on Ring of Honor.
I definitely hope they capitalize on it. And like, I love Mark Briscoe. I love him on TV, but use him to bring people to the Ring of Honor. You know, like, he's fantastic and everybody sort of latched onto him in AEW. Like, he could be a fantastic face for ROH as their champion.
Very true. Now, my number two match of the week is going to shock everybody, because I guarantee you everybody thought that this was going to be my number one match of the week. It's Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Championship. This match was like, I already said that they did Rocky IV. This is like them doing Avenger Endgame, because here's Cody versus Roman. And it's literally just the hodgepodge of great former WWE talent, as we saw John Cena come down and make a little bit of a save. We saw Seth Rollins, fresh off of his title loss and his Shield get up, distract Roman. Roman needed to hit Seth with his chair so much to get revenge on the downfall of the Shield that gave Cody the opening for the three crossroads and the victory. But also, before The Rock could do anything too much to Cody, the lights go out. And The Rock doesn't realize that The Undertaker's behind him. And he has the greatest, like, serial killer look on his face as The Rock turns around and realizes he effed up.
Yeah, very cool to see, like all the combined efforts of everybody who kind of, like, hold back, like, the bloodline and stuff like that, kind of deserved after all of the matches over the years.
It was this, you know, we've been complaining on and off again on Ray Free Professional Wrestling about how this story has got through the year leading up to WrestleMania. Honestly, they paid it off. They made it work. In the end, I feel like this is going to be one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. And I feel like people are going to look back at this, and they're not going to remember how we got here. They're just going to remember the landing, the ending of the story.
Yeah, it definitely. I think because, like, they landed the story, I think, like, any lingering thoughts that people might have had are kind of going to be swept under the rug as the time progresses.
Very true. So I already gave my number one match of the week. What is your number one match of the week?
All right. So I went with, I loved it. Athena versus Hikaru Shida for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. Talking about faces of Ring of Honor, Athena is the face of Ring of Honor, and everything she has done with this championship has been fantastic. And Shida was like a perfect opponent, like just two high caliber women that just, I thought, killed it.
You know, this was a great match. I watched it this morning before I went to work, and it was just fun to see Athena slowly get even more crazy and more like senile. She's going like, Shida, why don't you stay down? Shida, stay down. And there's a moment where I feel like she's going to lose this title to Shida. But at the end of the day, she works that knee and Shida goes for one more cantata, and she isn't able to hit it. Athena gets the victory. It's a great victory for Athena. She's still the forever Ring of Honor champion. Mini overlord to you all, I guess. I might have to get on that bandwagon and get me a number now, too.
I'm curious, because it's weird. I thought, like, Hikaru Shida would be a perfect opponent to take the title off of her, but I didn't know if they would necessarily go that route. But now that they have Billy Starks as, like, the TV champion, I'm curious to see where they go with her and Billy Starks now.
See, we were talking about this going into this Ring of Honor Supercard Honor thing, and my idea was Athena loses to Shida, Billy Starks wins the title. Then Aphina looks at Billy Starks and goes like, wait a minute, I lost my title. Where were you when I was losing my title? You have a title. I'm coming for your title.
It seems like they're going to keep them together, though, I guess. I'm genuinely curious as to what they can bring about for Aphina next, though.
Exactly. I mean, that's the big question here with Ring of Honor and the women's division. Do you go Aphina versus Queen Ariana next? Is that the direction you want to go?
I mean, that's a direction I'd like to go.
I mean, I would love to see this match. But again, I kind of want to see Queen Ariana get that title since she got cheated out of her TV title.
That's very true. And she's already made some comments. So I'm feeling like I'm hoping they'll build it up and do something for kind of like they did with like Aphina and Billy, like just a long-term great storytelling with it.
You know, we might complain about Ring of Honor from time to time, but this Supercard of Honor, it kind of felt like the old Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think it was like one of those cards that we sometimes talk about with Tony Khan where things are kind of thrown together. It ends up being very good, but again, you still had some matches that were announced during the show, which I am not a fan of and will never be a fan of, things like that. But overall, I think everybody was showing out. I think everybody across the board in every company was trying to show out this weekend.
Very true. So, Ashley, as we finish our story, where can we find you on the Super Information Superhighway?
I'm on Twitter, and it's at @groovy_ash_.
And I would like to apologize for the live stream. We did try to do a live stream this episode, and we had a few hiccups and stuff. We decided to just bail from that and do a video version of it for you guys. We'll keep you addressed and see if we can do another live stream. We may get that down to the road to maybe a time that we're able to do it and do it well. But until we do that, I would say if you missed that episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling, go over to www.radiofreepw.com. You can always follow the show on Twitter at Radio Free PW. And we're also on Instagram and TikTok underneath the same handle. And until we see you next time on Radio Free Professional Wrestling, remember, this is mine and Ashley's Groovy and Stunning Era. Top podcasters out. Story over.
This is Sergeant Arms of Christina on behalf of the guys. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. Until next time, the liberation continues.